I want to invite you to join us for the Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute right here in Memphis, Tennessee, October 26 and 27. We do offer this training institute online, but many of you have said you want us to continue offering it once a year so you can attend in person. All the details are at worldviewweekend.com. Click on the link for conferences and find out about our next Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute, October 26 and 27, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. We have a rate where a husband and wife can attend together for the price of one, and we have a special rate where you can bring your teenagers with you at a reduced price. When you're done with the Training Institute, I will give you the three-ring binder that you can take home with you that will include leader's notes, student worksheets, PowerPoint, and video clips so you can begin to teach a biblical worldview course in your community. We desperately need biblical worldview weekend instructors who will teach people the importance of biblical doctrine to defend the essential Christian doctrines. So I hope you will consider attending right now our annual Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute, the next one being October 26 and 27 in Memphis, Tennessee. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, glad you're with us. Dr. John joins us for another installment of Ask Dr. John. It's hard to believe it's been about 2 weeks since he was last with us. Yes, thank you, dogs, for barking as someone comes through the front door. It's hard to believe it's been 2 weeks since Dr. John was last with us, but that's exactly what it's been, and we have a lot of your questions that you have sent in to us, and we're going to get to them right away. Dr. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, brother. Joy to be with you.
How do you manage to keep your poodle so quiet during the program?
Well, she's now locked in Norma's office, and she has no permission to interrupt the program.
Oh, well, my wife's little Shih Tzu doesn't listen so well, but anyway... let's get right to it. Here's the first one, Dr. John. This is the number one on an addendum of questions. I think this one came in kind of toward the end of our preparations for the program today. It says, I know that it's completely unbiblical when people claim that Jesus took them to hell or showed them hell, but what would you say to those who have had near-death experiences and claim to have seen hell or something supernatural without Jesus involved? Those who would claim to have seen their spirit out of their body, or have seen fire, or heard screaming, etc. Are such experiences biblically possible? That's the question from one of our listeners, Dr. John. And, you know, that is interesting because even this week, I have a good friend who is a nurse in Kansas. And this is a lady that is very tuned into the things we talk about in this program, very much a student of the Bible. Goes to a very solid Bible teaching church. I say all that to say she's not prone to a lot of the silly experiences and this emotionalism and stuff. But as a nurse, she even sent me a email this week or a text this week saying, hey, we're praying for you and your wife and family because these are friends of ours for probably 15, 16, 17 years now, and they volunteer with us in Branson every year. And she said, you know, as a nurse, I've got to become more bold in sharing the gospel. And she said, one of the things that has caused me to want to be more bold is some of these patients that I see pass away. And the last time I remember, she was working in a retirement home, I think. But she said, I've heard patients talking about the flames, and I'm on fire, or I'm in the fire, and they come back. Maybe, I don't know if they're working on them or what, but they will come back and they'll talk to them and tell them and be pleading with them to save them. And she says, I can't understand what else they're describing other than they're seeing into hell. That kind of goes along with what this person's asking. What are we to think of these things, Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes, well, the Apostle Paul, I think, gives us an example of what to do about this. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, of course he's talking about himself, I don't know, or out of the body, I don't know. God knows such a man was caught up to the third heaven, and I know how such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. That's another name for, of course, the third heaven today. And did what? Heard inexpressible words, which a man is what? Not permitted to speak. You see, that was a genuine experience of the Apostle Paul. And he was extremely reticent, very, very careful not to go around saying, I heard this, I saw that, and so forth. Because the Bible warns us, doesn't it, in the final verses of the last book of the Bible, Revelation, don't add anything to what God has said. Don't ever find yourself going around saying, I heard this, I saw that, I saw Jesus, I saw I was in hell or heaven or somewhere. I would be very, very cautious about that. Of course, what's happening is, if I can put it this way, in many emotionally stressful times, things that our conscience has been dealing with for years bubbles up to the surface. And we say, well, God just showed me this or told me that, or I was here or there in heaven or hell. I would be very, very cautious about making claims like that, because it sounds as if you're speaking with a supernatural, here's the point, with supernatural authority. I saw God. I was here. I was there. I say, be very, very careful. Listen to Paul says. He said, a man is not permitted to speak about these things.
Number two, my friends are wondering if Scripture says anything one way or the other about cremation. This is one we've touched on before. It's quite popular. Let's just touch on it real briefly and then go on.
Yes. Back in 1 Samuel, it's amazing. You have the only case, really, in the Bible where you find what looks like a legitimate cremation. At the end of the book of 1 Samuel, Saul has died. It was a tremendous tragedy. And not only that, Jonathan, who loved David, died with him and other sons. And, of course, the Philistines came along and desecrated those bodies. So what happened? In appreciation for what he had previously done for them, the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead, this is 1 Samuel 31, end of the chapter, end of the book, they heard that the Philistines had done to Saul. And all the valiant men rose and walked all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall where they were desecrated by the Philistines, you see, of Beth-shan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there, burned their bodies. Why? Now listen carefully. And they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree of Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Something had happened to the bodies of those men that was disgraceful. So they burned the bodies, but they honored what the whole Bible talks about is a legitimate, appropriate way to honor the dead, namely burial. Now, you see, we have to be careful here. God doesn't need our body in order to raise us from the dead. People have died in the ocean. Their bodies, of course, have been devoured by scavengers, like in the Titanic, the 1500 that died. They're gone. God doesn't need the body. But the point is this, what is our attitude? What is our message? What's our testimony? The body is precious. It's part of what God made. It's identical to the kind of body Jesus had and has today. So we're saying, we're not going to burn up this body. We're going to bury it. Now remember, there are places where there are extreme problems with that. We realize that. I've been told, in fact, in Hong Kong, there's so little space to bury anybody that after a brief ceremony of burial, the body is cremated to make room for some other people to be buried momentarily. So you see, we have to be careful not to make a law out of this, but to understand the purpose is to honor the design that God put into our human form.
All right. Yesterday in the ladies' Sunday school class, the teacher stated those saved in the tribulation will not be saved by grace, but by works. This person emailing in wants to know, is this true?
Well, let's listen to what the book of Revelation says. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said to him, my Lord, you know. In other words, he said, who are these clothed in white robes in heaven here? He said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. That's the seven-year period that's following the rapture of the church, you know. And they have what? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it's because of the sacrifice of Christ, not because of their works, their good deeds, their worthiness. No, none of us are worthy. We remember Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, don't we? We're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And I say, Lord, help me to realize that even though Revelation 19:8 tells us that the righteous acts of the saints are the clothing of the glorified church. That's something that they did after they were saved. You see, Philippians 2 says it, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who works in you to work and to do of his good pleasure. We're saved by grace, but our Christian life shows, demonstrates, illustrates what God has done. We're never saved by our works, even in Revelation 7:14.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. By the way, Dr. John Whitcomb's website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. And again, all of the programs we have done with Dr. Whitcomb, now well over a year we've been doing this, are available in the Situation Room. And so all your members, all you need to do is put in there in the search engine of the Situation Room, John Whitcomb, and all these programs will pop up. So they're available there. We do have, however, some folks that don't have Internet access and that just don't really know how to use an iPod and don't understand MP3s and the like. And so what we're looking to do here is take many, many of these programs and put them into a CD pack of Ask Dr. John, something that you could listen to in your car. And, of course, you can do that with iPhones and iPads iPhones, iPads, and Androids, all that stuff you can plug in your car now. But, again, there's some folks that just don't know how to do all that. They don't want to mess with it, and they're wanting this kind of teaching to be available on a CD or a series of CDs. So we are looking to put together a pack for this fall of Ask Dr. John of many of these great programs where Dr. Whitcomb is answering these very, very important questions. But, again, his website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. Now, let's go to the next one. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, who are the brothers that are being talked about? Is it fellow Christians or all mankind?
Well, this is a very heavy passage. Jesus said he's trying to show what the heart is what God is watching, not necessarily our outward forms, expressions, and deeds. He said, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, that's Aramaic for empty-headed, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. That's a very heavy passage, isn't it? What's the point? The point, friends, is not that it's your actual physical genetic brother or even a fellow believer, but any human being who has what? The image and likeness of God. You say, really? Yes. Listen to the half-brother of Jesus, whose name was James. He's the pastor of the first church in Jerusalem. James 3:9, with a tongue we do what? We curse men who have been made in the image of God. All human beings have that image and likeness of God. So when we start excusing ourselves that this man is not closely related to me, I'll go ahead and curse him. That is not right. God says, be careful whom you're cursing. You're cursing someone who has my image and my likeness. So the Lord Jesus, of course, is telling us the Old Testament law said if you do this, you will suffer for it outwardly, physically, some kind of punishment. But I say if you do it in your heart, that's the main point. And the whole Sermon on the Mount goes on and says what you do in your heart is what really counts the most to God. And I say, Lord, help me to be very careful how I think about other people who may have offended me or hurt me or insulted me. I don't curse them. No, because I'm really doing something that is displeasing to you. Help me to love all men like Jesus did on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Help us to be like Jesus. And only God, the Holy Spirit, can enable us to do that, can't he? Yes.
Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest, and again, his website is WhitcombMinistries.org. You'll also find him on SermonAudio.com and on Facebook. And we'll get to more of your questions that you have emailed in to us in the last 2 weeks. And if you'd like to email in your question for another Ask Dr. John broadcast, Lord willing, about 2 weeks from now, you can do so by emailing us info@worldviewweekend.com. And just put in the subject line, please, Ask Dr. John. info@worldviewweekend.com, and put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. We'll add it to the list. We'll be right back.
I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room that is now over $8,000 in resources. If you were to buy all of the resources available at the retail price, it would total $8,000. But you have access to all $8,000 and growing in resources for only $59.95 a year. You can join for 1 year or multiple years. It's up to you. Check it out, won't you, at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. You'll get this radio broadcast, Worldview Weekend Radio, going back to the summer of 2007, over 1,400 radio shows. You also have access to the Worldview Weekend Radio program, second hour. The second hour of the Worldview Weekend Radio program that is for Situation Room members only. A few times each month, I do a second hour of this broadcast that's for members only. You can also watch over 140 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs on demand. The DVDs are available inside the Situation Room long before they ever go on to a DVD format. You also have access to all my books in an e-book format that you can download as PDFs to add to your Kindle or to your Nook. Lots of value inside the Situation Room, including the audiobook of Grave Influence. Hope you'll check it out. SituationRoom.net makes a great gift for someone else as well. SituationRoom.net. By the way, one of the benefits to joining the Situation Room is not only having access to over $8,000 in resources and growing, but it's a big part of our general operating budget. We use a lot of bandwidth making this show available for free for 14 days. After that, it does roll into the Situation Room, and we do want to continue making it available for free for 14 days to anyone. But to do that, we've got to cover the massive amount of bandwidth we're using, and it costs us many thousands of dollars a year. Not only the bandwidth, but just producing this show costs a lot of money, the phone lines and all that goes with it. And one way we cover all that is through our general operating budget, and the Situation Room memberships are a big part of our general operating budget. So please help your family out by having access to great biblical worldview resources, but you're also helping us when you join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. Full details and to join, you can do so at situationroom.net. SituationRoom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. Welcome back to the program, Worldview Weekend Radio, website's Worldview. After hearing me talk about it for 2.5 to 3 years, it's finally here. You can now order Religious Trojan Horse, my latest book. The subtitle is How False Teaching from Neo-Evangelicals, the New Religious Right, and the Spiritual Left Have Invaded the Church to Establish a Coming Religious World Government. It's hardcover, it's 6x9, and it includes over 500 footnotes. It's about 137,000 words. You're going to get your money's worth with this book. In Religious Trojan Horse, I expose the outrageous breach of integrity in the church, compromised by popular and dangerous teachings that are anything but scriptural. With thorough and precise documentation of every claim, I show you exactly who's to blame and how. In this book, you'll discover how the philosophy and eschatology of false religions have infiltrated evangelicalism. The saboteurs who have convinced 21st century evangelicals to embrace and promote heresies of the social gospel, dominion theology, ecumenicalism, mysticism, social justice, and communitarianism. The real and present danger that a false church has brought soft persecution to biblically committed Christians with worse yet to follow. The potential for an apostate church to become the catalyst for the coming New World Order. How the harlot church of Revelation 17 would do the bidding of a one world leader. The threat that mainstreaming a blend of signs and wonders with mystical Christianity has already conditioned unaware sheeple to accept a one-world leader, that the pro-family industry and its culture war have been an easy mark for infiltration by enemies of the gospel, how Rick Warren, Tony Blair, Joel Osteen, C. Peter Wagner, Glenn Beck, Mikhail Gorbachev, the Rockefellers, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, Peter Drucker, Jim Wallace, Tony Campolo, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, and others have assisted in building the religious Trojan horse. I'll explain to you how the world's religions are converging through a syncretism now supported by evangelicals. My revelations will shock you at first, then you'll likely be tempted to despair. And make no mistake, the situation is grim. Yet, I will offer you hope, simply by opening your eyes to what is happening and what can still be done. I'll chart a path on which we can return to truly biblical teaching, preaching, and raising our children. To secure your copy of Religious Trojan Horse, you can visit our website, worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back to the program, Worldview Weekend Radio. Website's worldviewweekend.com. And if you go to worldviewweekend.com and you look on the right-hand side of the page, you will see a graphic for the iPhone and the Android app. and they're free, and we're even improving them. Those of you who are a little frustrated because I think the player doesn't let you back up or whatever, and you lose connection, and you got to start all over, I know. I've had the same thing happen to me trying to listen to programs of the people we carry on our own website. Very frustrating, and we are fixing that. It'll cost about $600, believe it or not, to fix, which is why we've been postponing it. But we are going to fix it, and it'll be fixed here in the next couple of few weeks. And then, of course, then we have to sit around and wait for the app to be, the new version to be approved and then go up. But we are working on always trying to make an improvement. But you can get the apps for free at worldviewweekend.com. Look on the right-hand side of the page, and you can carry this program with you. You can listen to Crosstalk, Noise of Thunder. You can listen to many programs that we carry. We'll be starting to carry very soon a new program by Justin Peters. You can listen to the teaching program of Dr. Whitcomb. We carry about once a week a preaching program of Dr. Whitcomb there on our website, worldviewradio.com. Any of you can hear it at worldviewradio.com, hear all the programs I mentioned. But if you want to get it on your phone, the app, or for your Android or iPhone, you can just go to worldviewweekend.com, look on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll find the link for the free app for Android and iPhone to carry the radio program with you. Dr. Whitcomb can also be heard at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. Is that correct, Dr. Whitcomb?
That's right. Thank you.
No, thank you. Now, let's go back to Matthew 5, because that gives me a question. It says here, but whosoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Help me understand this, because I remember this verse being used when I was a child and hearing it taught and talked about. But yet the Bible also talks a lot about the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Someone who is foolhardy or foolish. The Bible talks a lot about the foolish or the fool, but we're not to distinguish or call or point out someone that is such?
That's a very difficult problem. The whole point is this. What is our attitude toward people that are created in the image and likeness of God? No matter how depraved they may be or how evil they may be, they have his image and likeness. And I say, Lord, help me to be extremely careful what I say about other humans. Now, of course, if I were a judge in the Supreme Court or some local court and had to condemn some criminal to death, even the death row, in my heart of hearts, I say, Lord, that's what I deserve, apart from your grace. Help me to reach out to people, even the most evil people that are around us, around the whole world, and say, Lord, I don't want to condemn anyone to hell. That's for you to do, not me. You know the heart. I don't. Help me to be very humble before you, the way I treat and talk about and think about other people.
So the issue is, are we using the term biblically, or are we just using it in a pejorative, angry manner?
Right. That's it. The word fool, of course, in the Bible, you see, we use it in a lighter way. You've done a foolish thing, a stupid thing, a ridiculous thing. But in the Bible, fool means an evil person. You remember Abigail called her husband Nabal because he was a wicked man. You remember that episode, what he did to David's soldiers. And I say, Lord, I don't know all that this means, but help me to be very careful what I think about other people.
Mm-hmm. The person writing into us says, this is an area that confuses me. When I study Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 32, Jesus said that a man cannot put away his wife unless on the grounds of adultery. I know that there is always room for forgiveness if that happens. But what if it's so hard to forgive, or the person who committed the act is not making it easy for one to move forward?
Yes. The Lord Jesus, of course, laid down very strict guidelines on the matter of divorce, didn't he? Only in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19 is there an allowance made by Jesus for divorce, namely, if there's what? Immorality. Now, in the parallel passages in Mark and Luke, there is no exception. Now, that gives us a little clue. Matthew is Old Testament-oriented more than the other three Gospels. He's saturating with Old Testament perspectives, praise the Lord. But he is saying, in effect, divorce here is based on what? Adultery? Immorality? Of what kind? Well, like Joseph found Mary in their betrothal period, even before they came together, he was forced to what? Initiate a divorce. That may be the exception that Jesus refers to. You say, why do you think it was that limited, an exception? Because when the disciples said to him, if a relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it's better not to marry. In other words, you have laid down such a strict guideline on divorce and remarriage. Why should we ever think of marrying anybody ever? And, of course, they had misunderstood. The purpose of God is not to disparage marriage. It's to honor it on the basis of what? One flesh. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, they should become one flesh. I say, amazing you've given to us in your word about this matter.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought she was locked in your wife's office.
She is, but I'm listening in right now.
Okay.
And she saw a squirrel outside.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. We're glad to have both of you with us. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has that happen.
All right.
She sounds like a very cute little dog with a cute growl there.
Yes, she is.
All right.
6.5-pound poodle. 9 years old.
I'm sure people are very afraid of her, too, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
Here we go. Number six. A difficult situation presented itself to me this morning. Just recently, a couple bought the house next door to my husband and me. The husband is from India and a Hindu. The wife called me this morning to invite me to the blessing service tomorrow for the house. You know, this is very interesting email because I have some neighbors that are Hindu, and when they bought the house across the street about a year ago, they actually opened all the windows up and had over a bunch of friends, and I don't know if they had over one of their religious leaders or what, but they opened all the windows of the house up, and then they began to ring bells, and I'm told they were chasing all the evil spirits out of the house. So this is I know exactly the kind of thing this person's talking about. So the person goes and says, the wife called me this morning to invite me to the blessing service tomorrow for the house. She described the service as a type of religious service. I accepted the offer initially and then sat down to pray about what to do. I want to start out right with my new neighbors, but I do not want to offend God. I thought of many kinds of excuses that I could make to decline, but rather decided to call the wife and explain that I was a devout Christian and felt it inappropriate to attend a Hindu blessing. I don't think the wife took my explanation very well. It's only a blessing for the house, she said. What would you have done, Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes. The whole issue is this. How do we view unsaved neighbors? No matter what religion they represent, or no religion at all, if they invite us to participate, we might say, now, Lord, protect me here, because the main thing is, how is this going to come across? As an endorsement of their false religion or lack of religion? Or is it a gesture of love and outreach? You see, Paul faced that problem straight on, didn't he, in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, if one of the unbelievers invites you, okay, 1 Corinthians 10:27, and you wish to go, eat anything set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone should say, this meat is sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. And I say, now, wait a minute here. What are we doing? We're trying to win these people to the Lord. If you give them the impression, here's the point, if you give them and your neighbors and other people who may be watching you the impression that you don't care whom you worship or whether there's anybody worthy of worship, you have committed a serious error, a very serious crime, spiritually speaking. The whole thing is so delicate, so fragile. How does it come across? What is my motive? Is it to help people come to the Lord? Now, you can imagine a case where you might say, if you're not being watched by all kinds of other people, I will go to your house if you'll come to my house. I'll go to your church or temple or whatever if you'll come to mine. Now, that's a very, very delicate situation, folks. We're not trying to play games with people. We're trying to do what? In love, reach out to them, understanding that they have problems and questions that you and only you, your God, can answer. With love, all these problems can be solved. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have what? Love for one another, 1 Corinthians 15:13.
So the you know, for me personally, here's what I would do, because again, I my neighbors would be watching, and I don't want to give the impression that I would agree with their religious worldview. So I would just say, thank you for the invitation, but we're not going to be able to make it. However, you know, we would love to welcome you to the neighborhood. Could you come over for some dessert next week?
Right.
And that way, you're really not
you know, putting up a fence before you've even gotten a chance to know them, but yet you're also graciously declining their invitation and immediately letting them know it's not that you don't want to get to know them or welcome them to the neighborhood. You say, thank you, we're not going to be able to make it that evening, but would you please come to our home for some dessert and coffee next week? We'd love to have you in our home.
Right.
It's so common here in the South is that when someone moves in, you know, they get the people bring them, you know, dessert or we'll bring them some kind of gift. That's very common here. Again, you could do that. Thank you. We can't make it, but actually I have a housewarming gift for you, and I would like to walk over to your home here perhaps later today. Again, I think that a way you're not giving the impression that you approve of them, you endorse what they're doing, no one else is confused by, hey, you just entered into some kind of religious enterprise here with these people, which the scriptures are very clear about not doing, but yet you've also protected that opportunity to, as you say, begin to share Christ with them. So I think the key here is just trying to be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove.
That's a good verse to use. Be wise as a serpent. And I say, Lord, help me to have wisdom that only you can give me to reach out to people in our neighborhood for you.
Number 7 on our list here. I have wondered if it is idolatry to pledge allegiance to the flag. Growing up, we always did this in Vacation Bible School, but it seems like it isn't right to pledge allegiance to anything other than the Lord. Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes. Jesus has the answer. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. They tried to trap Jesus and said, should we pay tax to the government or not? And listen to what he said. He said, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And hearing this, they marveled and went away. That's the answer. If you pledge allegiance to the flag and think you're worshiping the flag or worshiping the government that represents the flag, that's blasphemy. But if you do it, what? That's idolatry. But if you do it as a gesture of your respect for your government, yes, that is appropriate, Jesus said. And I say, Lord, I frankly was raised in the military. I was a soldier in the Second World War. I'm very interested in how we relate to our government, our army, our flag, everything that stands for the United States of America, where I happen to be a citizen today. But I would never, ever want to confuse worship of my God with paying respect to my government.
Hmm. Good answer. All right, 8. I've heard a really well-known pastor talk about Christ being the true Israel. He does hold to replacement theology, but I've never heard it put that way before. What do you think are some of the promises of God that could not be fulfilled in Christ and have to be fulfilled in a literal people, namely Israel? That's the question we'll get to with Dr. John Whitcomb when we come back from the break. His website is whitcombministries.org. You will also hear him at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. And we do post one of his sermons every week at worldviewradio.com. And also there you can hear other programs like Crosstalk, which comes on right after this program each day, and Noise of Thunder and many other programs there on our website that we archive. So we'll continue with this installment of Ask Dr. John, and we'll open up the phone lines here in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Starting September 10th, 2012, virtually anybody in the world will be able to watch our weekly national television program, which I guess is now international, the Worldview Weekend Hour. Hello, I'm Brandon House. The last several years, we've been airing on DirecTV on a Christian channel, but that's a very limited market. And we've been airing on a station in Milwaukee as well. And we're very thankful for both of those outlets. But again, it's a limited market. And many people say, I don't have DirecTV or I don't live in Milwaukee. How can I see your national television program? Well, starting September 10th, we are going to launch our national weekly television program online. We are building a website right now. It's not up yet. We're building it now. It'll be WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com. And we're going to put our weekly national TV show up there every Monday for 24 hours for you to watch on demand when it fits your schedule. Now, we're building the player so it will play on your computer, your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, and we're also going to load it onto Roku. For those of you who have the little Roku box, you'll be able to watch this weekly television program on demand through your wireless internet
but on your television. And, of course, for full details, you can go to Roku.com to find out where to get a Roku box. But other than that, we're going to be streaming this TV show for 24 hours on demand to anybody in the world that wants to watch it. Now, here's where I need your help. It's going to cost us money to build the website and the bandwidth. Every time someone watches this TV show, it's going to cost us bandwidth. So we're going to have to cover that cost. If you agree with what we teach through our radio program, our conferences, and our national television show, would you partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation? You can make a one-time contribution or a monthly tax-deductible contribution right now by going to worldviewweekendfoundation.com. We need to raise the funds necessary to underwrite this project for the rest of the year. So would you please help us now? We need to hear from you now so we can set our budgets and be ready to go with all the bandwidth that we'll have to pay for when people all over the world start watching this TV show free of charge. So again, if you agree with the biblical teaching that we're giving through our radio show and now this TV show nationwide, we need your help. WorldviewWeekendFoundation.com. WorldviewWeekendFoundation.com is where you can make a tax-deductible contribution today. Thank you for doing that. Now, here's the issue. I can bring people in and interview them, like Mike Gendron and Justin Peters and Chris Pinto and Jimmy DeYoung and a lot of great Bible teachers, and I can put this out to the world to watch free of charge online. I can also continue to do the free one-night Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies all over the country, which I will do. But how are we going to reach more people? Through a Biblical Worldview Weekend rally in a few cities, or through offering our training, the same teaching, through our television show to anybody in the world that wants to watch it? Well, it's obviously going to be through the ability for people to watch our TV show anywhere in the world. So this is a way that we can really reach a lot of people, and so we're counting on you to help us out. Again, we're going to make this so it can play on a lot of different formats, but we need your help to cover the cost of the bandwidth when we give this program away for free. So thank you for visiting WorldviewWeekendFoundation.com and helping us now as we raise the funds necessary to launch the first international broadcast each and every week of the Worldview Weekend Hour at WVWTV.com. Thank you. I want to invite you to register for the free Biblical Worldview Weekend Rally coming to the following cities the fall of 2012. These are one night and they're free, but you must register online at worldviewweekend.com. We're going to start out October 7th in Destin, Florida. Then we're on to Wichita, Kansas, Des Moines, Iowa, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rogers, Arkansas, Peoria, Illinois, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Rockford, Illinois. They're free, they're one night, and it's the Biblical Worldview Weekend Rally. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Please post this on your Facebook, put it out to your email address book. Help us get out the word about these free Fall 2012 Biblical Worldview Weekend Rallies. Speakers will include myself, Brandon House, along with Justin Peters, Mike Gendron, Jimmy DeYoung, and a few others. Don't miss out on the Fall Worldview Weekend rallies coming to these cities. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back, Worldview Weekend Radio. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. And, of course, we want to remind our listening friends that can join us. We will be hosting our free Biblical Worldview Weekends around the country starting this fall, Destin, Florida. Is October 7th. Tell your friends, please, if you have Facebook or email address books and all the Twitter and all the new social media, would you really help us get out the word? We really would appreciate it. Just send them to our website, worldviewweekend.com, and let your friends around the country know. Destin, Florida, October 7th. Wichita, Kansas, October 12th. Des Moines, Iowa. St. Paul, Minneapolis. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rogers, Arkansas. Peoria, Illinois. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rockford, Illinois, all the dates and the speakers and locations are at our website, worldviewweekend.com. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org, and you can send us your question for Ask Dr. John for our next program about 2 weeks from now, Lord willing. And to do that, you just email us, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and put in the subject line, if you will, please, Ask Dr. John. All right, Dr. John, the next question, we started it right before the break. I've had a really well-known pastor talk about Christ being the true Israel. He does hold a replacement theology, but I've never heard it put that way before. What do you think are some of the promises of God that could not be fulfilled in Christ and have to be fulfilled in the literal people, namely Israel?
That's a very easy question to answer. The Old Testament prophets are full of predictions of the land, not Jesus himself, the land being restored to Israel, and the temple being established over and over again. But let's look for a moment at the New Testament. Romans chapter 11. It says, if the Jews do not continue in their unbelief, they'll be grafted back into the what? The tree of God's blessing. For God is able to graft them in again. That's the key point. God's mercy, God's grace on the future of Israel. And I say, how much more shall those who are the natural branches, that's the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Of course, we Gentiles, and I'm a Gentile, maybe many of you are, have been grafted into the tree of divine blessing based on what? The Abrahamic covenant. But now listen. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel, not to Jesus. watch the wording. Until what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. We've got the church, Israel, Gentiles. Now, all Israel will be saved. Well, that can't be Jesus. It's impossible. That's blasphemy. Jesus doesn't need to be saved, but Israel does. And then it quotes a passage from, of course, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. But now listen to this. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. That is, Jews in the early church persecuted Christians, didn't they? The book of Acts tells us that over and over. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for what? The sake of the fathers. That's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to whom he gave that unconditional covenant of the future destiny of Israel. Why? Because the gifts, now listen, and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be canceled. They can't be transferred to somebody else. So those are good starting passages, and there are many others that show us that God has a distinct plan for Israel. Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 24:15, that there's going to be a holy place again. There are going to be sacrifices offered, Daniel chapter 9. And there's going to be a reestablishment of the distinctive nation of Israel in the promised land again. I say, thank you, Lord. That is absolutely amazing.
Excellent. All right. Next question. My wife and I were concerned that our church has started having a, quote, prophet, end quote, come to our church every 6 months or so. He gives a sermon and has a, quote, commercial break, end quote, to call someone out to give them a word from God. You can also stay after and see him for a word from God. We don't think it's biblical and are concerned with where our church is going. Well, let me say, listener, you should be very concerned. In fact, I would be running from that church if I were you. This is what the Bible would call a false prophet. That office is closed, so that makes them a false prophet if they think they're getting extra biblical revelation from God. Dr. Whitcomb, you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. 2 Timothy
Absolutely
chapter
agree.
4, Paul's last letter to Timothy, he warned, I solemnly charge you, he said to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word. That's the Bible. If people don't believe, teach the Bible, you're to separate from them. Now watch. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now here's the word. Listen. For the time will come, and it's surely here now, isn't it, friends, when they will not endure sound doctrine, that's healthy teaching from the Bible, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Oh, here's somebody who has a special word from God, you see, a prophet. And I say, no, wait a minute here. They will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, speaking to Timothy and to you and me today, friends, be sober in all things, endure hardship. It'll cost you something to stand for God's truth. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And friends, if you can't find a good Bible-teaching, Christ-honoring church, what are you to do? Start one in your own home with your own family. Invite neighbors in. There's always an alternative to a false church. One that is true to the Word of God, perhaps even in your own home.
So you would agree that with me when I say this is a false prophet?
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't have true messengers from God today going around saying, I have a word from God for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's getting so, well, it's not getting strange. It's just getting stranger. I have a video clip I put up on our website. I'm going to play a few video clips tomorrow before we interview Dr. DeYoung. But a few video clips we just must play to give you an idea of really where we're going and what's going on. But I've got a new video clip up there today of Cindy Jacobs, this, quote, prophet, end quote, Cindy Jacobs, talking about raising the dead.
it's amazing, whether it's Todd Bentley or at Rick Joyner's church, and who is at Rick Joyner's church now, or in his Lakeland Revival, or Cindy Jacobs and her comments. And I recently found a video clip this morning, actually, of Cindy Jacobs at the call with Lou, which is of Lou Engle, with Rick Joyner there as well, talking about raising the dead. And another one I found today that's up on our website about raising the dead. This is becoming, they think this is becoming very common, Dr. Whitcomb. I'm watching a lot of these video clips by a lot of these people that the new religious right and pro-family groups are sitting with and uniting with. These people believe that, of the new apostolic reformation, the Cindy Jacob types, they believe it's becoming a regular occurrence for them to go around raising the dead.
Yes, I would like to challenge them, and I'm being foolish. Why not go to a hospital where people are dying and just go right up and down the lane and say, rise, rise, get up from your bed? I mean, why not do what Jesus did to Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. In other words, when you put these people to the test, you find out they are mishandling God's word of truth. You know, many appeal to Mark 16, don't they? That they'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues. But the part they don't like, you'll pick up serpents, and if you drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt you. That they will not do. That would end the movement. You see what I mean? They're playing games with God's word, picking out what they think they can fool people to believe that they are special.
I have a hard time personally believing that people like Cindy Jacobs, Todd Bentley, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, I have a very difficult time looking at their theological beliefs and fruit, and Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit,
right,
their doctrinal fruit. I have a hard time, Dr. Whitcomb, believing these people are truly believers.
Right. I would say they're absolutely not, and you just lay across these people what the standard of God's revelation in the Bible. You see that they are false teachers.
Hmm. And false teachers by nature are not Christians, correct?
That's right. And I say, Lord, even though a man might be a Christian and be heretical in some respects, he will face Jesus at what we call what? The judgment throne of Christ. Immediately after resurrection, rapture day, we'll give an account to him of all we've done. Our motives, our thoughts, our words. Not one of us, of course, is perfect. But we can walk in the light as he is in the light and look forward to receiving a crown like Paul did for faithfulness in teaching the whole counsel of God.
1-800-347-9829 is our number. The phone line is now open for those of you who would like to call in and ask a question or make a comment on today's program. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Phone line is now open. I do know that some of you, and in fact a large percentage of people who listen to talk radio, love listening to talk radio. They listen every day, and sometimes they'll listen for years. But they'll never call into a program that makes them nervous. They don't want to do it. But you want to be a part of the program, and we give you that opportunity, particularly with Ask Dr. John, to email in your question for the next program by simply emailing us info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, and we'll add your question to the lineup. So anyway, you can get on board, 1-800-347-9829. If you don't hear your question answered, and there's very few that we don't answer, but if you don't hear the question answered, it's because Dr. Whitcomb has simply chosen not to answer that because of just not having time to go into great detail. Some of the questions you ask would require hours, not theologically, some of them. Some of them would require him going to archaeological sites and studying and finding out about this archaeologist and what this archaeologist found and doing a lot of things that just doesn't give him the time to get into. So if you don't hear your question answered, it's not that we're ignoring it. It's that Dr. Whitcomb only has so much time in a given day, and we try to get to the more pertinent theological questions versus some questions that deal with this personality or that personality. Is that a fair way to put it, Dr. Whitcomb?
That's right. Please be merciful to me. I only have limited time. I want to help people know the Lord and not get involved in intricate technicalities on somebody's discovery or claims or opinions. Let's keep close to God's word.
Amen to that. All right, we're going to come back. Go right to your calls. Josh, Brad, and someone else is getting online right now. We'll take Rusty. So Josh, Brad, Rusty, hold the lines. We'll be right to you with more Ask Dr. John. You can now Now order the Branson 2012 Worldview Weekend DVDs. Hello, I'm Brennan House, and we filmed all of the keynote presentations in Branson, Missouri this past April 2012 with multiple cameras, including a swinging boom camera. Well, what that really means is this is quality broadcast production. You can order any of the DVDs individually, or you can order all 8 DVDs, a total of 16 presentations, and a bundled special discounted price. You can order them now inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. Again, you just go to worldviewweekend.com and look for the link for our bookstore, and you can order them there individually, or order all 8 DVDs at a discounted package price. You'll have the opportunity to order the keynote presentation I did on what has happened to the world, why, where are we going, and how should Christians respond. And then I spoke on 20 characteristics of false teachers embraced by the false church. Dr. Jerry Vine spoke on what makes the Bible special. And then he spoke on, have you heard the good news? It's a DVD presentation on the gospel. And then Dr. John Wickham spoke on the evidence for a worldwide flood. Now, he wasn't with us in Branson, but he spoke for us in April in Indianapolis. We filmed it, and we're making it a part of the Branson 2012 DVD series. You'll also get the DVD by Mike Gendron on Rome's strategy for a one-world religion. Dr. Erwin Lutzer on when the king tolerates the Antichrist. His second talk was on when the king returns to reign. Chris Pinto spoke on exposing the ongoing war against the Bible, how we got the Bible in English, and the 50 million people that are killed in the process. And then he spoke on the unbiblical worldview of some of America's most popular founding fathers and how today's patriotic faith is an assault on the gospel. Then we heard from Dr. Jimmy DeYoung on the greatest evidence that we're living in the last days. And then he spoke on heaven today, tomorrow, and forever. Finally, we heard from Justin Peters on the duty of discernment, and then his keynote presentation on the Word of Faith Movement Exposed. All of these are available individually, or, again, you can order all 8 DVDs, 16 presentations, and a discounted package price. Again, you can order them right now today, individually or as a package price, at worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. The Rise of the Antichrist. That's the title of a DVD where I interviewed Dr. Jimmy DeYoung for 4 50-minute television programs. Dr. DeYoung lived in Israel for 18 years. In this DVD series, Dr. DeYoung will help us understand world events in light of the Bible. What wars are going to erupt in the Middle East, and how will they impact America and the world? Does the Bible speak of the Muslim nations that are uniting and becoming more radical in their hatred of Israel? How close are the Jews to rebuilding the temple? What role, if any, will America play in the last days? What does the Bible say about the coming one-world government and economy? And are we seeing their formation even now? How should these world events encourage and challenge Christians in the defense and proclamation of the gospel? In these 4 50-minute television interviews, I asked Dr. Jimmy DeYoung to discuss such topics as, will the Church of Rome be the headquarters for the one-world religion? How will the Antichrist use this woman that rides the beast? And when and why will he eventually turn on her? What is the difference between the spiritual Babylon of Revelation 17 and the commercial Babylon of Revelation 18. What characteristics will the Antichrist possess? Who on the world scene today is helping to lay the foundation for the Antichrist and a one-world religion as predicted in Revelation 17? And Syria, Egypt, and Libya. They're becoming even more radical. Dr. DeYoung explains where and how these nations are mentioned in the Bible as coming against Israel. The Bible says Russia and Persia will come against Israel. Until 1936, Persia included the 3 countries of Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and Iran either has them or is on the verge of having nuclear weapons, and Afghanistan is turning more radical. The Antichrist will take the credit when God intervenes and protects Israel when Russia and Persia come against it. The Antichrist will then set himself up as God in the temple in Jerusalem. For this to occur, the temple must be rebuilt. The priests have been trained, the robes have been made, the instruments have been created, and now the red heifer has been obtained from a breeder in Mississippi so that sacrifices might be possible. The Antichrist will also establish a one-world global economy based out of Babylon in Iraq. Babylon is being rebuilt, and Iraq has a record amount of oil and is rebuilding an advanced communication system. Many of these things predicted in the Bible are coming into focus, and the Antichrist is soon to rise on the world scene. To understand what's happening in the world in light of the Bible, I urge you to order the DVD, The Rise of the Antichrist. Again, it includes 4 50-minute interviews with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. You can order now inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com, or you can have access to this interview right now along with 150 other DVDs on demand. You join the situation room at situationroom.net. Again, you can order this DVD inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com or have access to this DVD right now along with many others when you become a member at situationroom.net. Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org, and you can also find him at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. And you can hear a sermon by him each week that we post up on our website at worldviewradio.com. worldviewradio.com. You'll also find in our bookstore a DVD that we filmed of Dr. Whitcomb on the evidence for a worldwide flood. And Situation Room members, that'll be going in the Situation Room this week. We added two Branson DVDs last week to the Situation Room. So I think there's like four, I think, yeah, there's four Branson DVDs in there now from 2012, four of 15. So four out of 15 are there now. We'll be adding a fifth one this week. Dr. Whitcomb's on evidence for the worldwide flood will be going into the Situation Room for members. If you would like to join, you can do so at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Otherwise, if you prefer to have it in the old format of a DVD, we still do that, and you can get it inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com and just look for the DVD by Dr. Whitcomb. Let's go to the phone lines. Line one, Josh from Waukesha. Josh, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Hi there. I just simply want to ask, you had spoken previously a few days ago multiple times about the Great Commission and how, you know, we were to go and make disciples of all nations. But I think it's important you hadn't mentioned the second part of that is baptizing them. And the original translation of that scripture is Jesus speaking, baptizing them in my name. And I'm curious as to why churches today tend to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in titles instead of in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, just as we see in Acts 2:38, people, hear the truth that you may live by it in Jesus' name. Thank you very much.
All right. Dr. John, you want to respond to that at all?
Yes. When the Apostle Peter and other apostles told people how to be baptized, he said, in Jesus' name, namely in his authority, on the basis of his commandment, his directions. Now, what are his directions? They're recorded in Matthew 28. Jesus gave them this order, you see, you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, three persons are to be recognized in baptism. In the particular churches I serve with, we have what we call triune immersion, that is, like they did in the early church. Into the waters of baptism, once the head is lowered, in the name of the Father. Number two, in the name of the Son. Number three, lower the head in the name of the Holy. Why? Because it's a visual aid. What you're trying to tell people is there are three persons involved in the Godhead. And you can see something. You say, three persons, who are they? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of, on the authority of Jesus, Peter said, in the Acts passage you quoted. And what's his authority? What's his instructions? Matthew 28, do it this way. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this visual aid of the marvelous complexity of the Godhead. Father, Son, three persons, eternal, equal in glory and power, distinct in functions forever.
Now, let me get this straight. Are you saying that your church puts him down into the water about neck level and then baptizes him three times, basically, each time?
Right. We call this triune immersion, which all the early Christians performed according to what we find in church history. And so I say, thank you, Lord. Now we have a beautiful visual aid to provoke a question or two maybe from somebody. Who are these? Why three times are you doing this? And I say, Lord, because you want us to know the three persons involved here that are infinitely important in my salvation. The Father sent the Son paid the price, and the blessed Holy Spirit wrote it down in what we call the Bible and applies it to our heart.
Beautiful. Let's go to Brad in West Allis, line two. Brad, thank you for calling in.
Hi. When God gave us the fourth commandment about remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, he also told us why. And that was because he created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh and blessed that day. We as Christians have changed it and said now we have a Christian Sabbath because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Well, yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that he created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So is that enough, even with that verse that talks about reverencing one day over another or none at all or whatever, is that enough to change one of the Ten Commandments?
Right. Very good question. When the New Testament, the New Covenant, the church began, we don't, Jesus warned us, you know, don't despise the Old Testament law. It came from God. But isn't it amazing? The only one of the Ten Commandments that God did not repeat, emphasize, apply to the church was the Sabbath one. We are now honoring the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week, Sunday, instead of the completion of creation on the seventh day, which is Saturday. You say, well, how do we know that we're supposed to do this on this first day of the week? Well, listen to Acts 20. When Paul went from Philippi, he went to Troas, and on the first day of the week, he waited a whole week so that the people would be gathered together. When? The first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread, that is, their communion on Sunday. And not only that, but as you know, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, when you're gathered together on the first day of the week, let me read it for you, 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper. Now, we're not making a heaven or hell issue out of this, dear friend. God wants us to worship him every day of the week. But there's a special time when we publicly, openly gather, and in the New Testament and in the early church, and for the vast majority, of course, of Bible-believing Christians today, it's on Sunday, the first day of the week.
Let's go to Rusty, Line 3, Ohio. Rusty, thank you for calling in.
Yes, God bless you both.
Thank you, sir.
My question today is it biblical in our time to pray precatory prayers against these organizations that are against God, like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the new NAR? Would it be biblical to pray precatory prayers against these people or these organizations?
By precatory prayer, we mean, Lord, condemn them, destroy them, judge them. You see, we have to be careful here. I'm not the judge of human beings, human groups, organizations, movements, and so forth. Only my Savior is the judge. But I pray for them they may be saved. I say, Lord, help me in my intercessory prayer. Somebody prayed for me when I was a godless evolutionist at Princeton University in 1942 and 43. And I say, thank you, Lord, that they love me enough to sit me down and say, listen, here's what Jesus did for you. And so I don't go around, you know, with imprecatory prayers. Lord, destroy this group, destroy this person, this movement. God will take care of that one in his perfect time and way. For me, it's to reach out in love and with a true message of the gospel that Jesus, my Savior, died for my sins and rose from the dead. And therefore, they can be saved too. There's nobody that's hopeless.
Amen to that. And I would pray, Lord, use me to guard your gospel, Rusty. Thanks, Dr. John.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure'd appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.